through into the book of Esther. Esther chapter 2, verse 5, now in Shushan, the palace was a certain Jew, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimeah, the son of Kish, of Benjamin, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Senechiah, king of Judah, the Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Dasha, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful. And Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, she called his own daughter. Now, if you just look at chapter 4, please, in the verse, I'm sure all are acquainted with this beautiful book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 5, then Esther bade them return Mordecai at the century ago, gather together all the Jews that were present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded. The end of the book, please, will do the final reading in Esther. And verse number 3, and Mordecai the Jew was next gone to Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. Now turn to 1 Samuel, please. And chapter 17. And verse number 4, and there went out a champion out of the temple. The Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in his span, a helmet of brass upon his head, and his arm were a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was the leader's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, one bearing a shield round the forehead. And verse 10, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And verse number 48, we'll just move to, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence his stone and slain it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. There's one more verse I want to read in Genesis, please, on chapter 22. Verse number 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or try Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thy lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains. I will tell thee off, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. And verse number 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering and his friend his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Verse number 16, and he said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, because it is done this thing. It's not withheld thy son, thine only son. Verse number 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast prepared thy works. Now, there doesn't seem any connection in the verses, possibly, but I hope God will help me, by the help of the Holy Spirit, as we maybe carry on a little of what we have heard. Really, what's on my mind, what would like them to gather very simply is this, that there seems to be a crisis in each of these passages, definite crisis. And I believe that life is made up of that. You have to agree with that. In life, looking back, well, a short while, long while on the road, we always look back to certain happenings, certain things that happened. Some that molded our life, some that spoke to us, some that restored us. And there's different ways God moves and works. And we look back to those times. If we hadn't got those times, we probably wouldn't have made anything for God. But God stepped into the arena of our human history and so works and moves and brings us to certain realizations and brings us to certain points of life that we're never the same afterwards. And I believe every meeting should be that character, should have somewhere a punchline somewhere in the message where people are alerted and where saints are brought to a halt, and when they start to consider and start to think, what do I do with my life? Why did God anyhow save me? Sure, it's a fire escape from hell, that's true, but is that all there is to life? No, my friend. I hope we'll learn from these passages something of the beauty of knowing God and appreciating God, living for God, and pulling the arrow upon the altar for God. Why, this young man growing up in Vancouver, the only answer to this province, I'm getting down with it, there hits the Lord. The only answer to this province is that the baton of testimony and of gospel evangelism will be handed into their hands for them to be raised up to carry that torch and to live for God, to make something in a world of darkness and of sin. We want to look at the three passages very simply. We're going to look at a man, Mordecai. He come on the picture at a crisis. And this man come under the crisis. One of the salient points that I want to labor is this. He's a man who had the wealth or the welfare of the nation in his heart that were in captivity in Persia, the country of Persia. This man had one predominant thing. That was the good of others. No, brother, that's what life's all about. You know, it's me, mine, generally speaking, we're tainted with that. We can't help it. But it's nice to get the vision enlarged. The honors come into the picture. You know, when General Booth was going to speak at Chicago at a big convention there, and General Booth was going, hey, I hear people pray about people, and you think, oh, it's very much. General Booth was a man in his own right, and God blessed him. He was a born-again man. I know that stuff is a tragedy here he is. But he was going across to speak to Chicago, a big conference in Chicago. And he's going by ship, of course, and they're dependent on the man in the main speaker and all the rest. And of course, the ship went into a storm and into fog, and he didn't make it. And he realized, the dear general realized, I'm not going to make it to the convention. So he telegrammed ahead a message to give to the convention. Yeah.
And the chairman got up and said, I'm sorry, the general Booth will never storm at sea, fall. And we're disappointed, but he sent a message. And you'd be amazed, there's only one word in it. And he opened it and he said, I want to read the telegram. And as he opened it, they were waiting to hear. And one word come floating down over the audience and into their hearts. Others! Someone hadn't have thought about you, where would you have been today? Someone hadn't etched upon their soul the word others, where would you be today? And so I believe in Mordecai, he did right over his life, he thought not on his own things, but others. He's looking at a nation, and the point being this in the book of Esther, you know the characters, the players on the field in the book of Esther are delightful. There's Basha, there's the king. Hard word to pronounce, so I'm not going to try to do it. I haven't got the list for that, or whatever you call it, and or the rule for it, but in any way, I'll call him the king. You know, Mr. Robert Lowe, in a place, he was, the Donny, Sammy Osho was reading the King, one of those difficult passages, with all the new, you know, big goblins. And you never would use them on your kids today, I hope. But anyway, they were using these big ones. And of course, after Sammy had finished, Robert Love looked over, he's a big old preacher, he said, Sammy, if you call those boys for the supper, I wonder how many would come. Well, I'm not going to get into that difficulty right now. Just the king in the book of Esther. You got the king, and then you've got Vashai, and then you've got Mordecai, and you've got Haman, and you've got these players in the field here in the book of Esther. There's one thing predominant, that behind it all, the omission of God, I'll touch that in a moment, the omission of God is in the book of Esther very significant, but behind all there seems to be a sinister hand working. And that's the hand of satanic power. And it's using the Haman to do something to destroy, to annihilate a people called the Jews. God's chosen people. Yes, they were in captivity. Yes, they were in another land. And here is a little slave girl with her uncle Mordecai, and they're among the captivity. And this man, though his name means small, a Benjamin. And there's a whole lot of truth associated with that four generations, his father's face. I'm not getting into that. Very, very important and significant to read it in your lesson. But just get the serious point. There's a sinister power out to destroy and ruin and annihilate these people called the Jews. And into the picture comes a man called Mordecai. And what he was looking at as he viewed the situation, he realized, I am going to do all in my power. I put my life on the line to halt and avert the situation and save the people from extinction. I know we don't get into that possibly in assembly night, but I want to say kindly, I've learned in 41 years, there's a sinister hand in this war. And brethren, don't pull your arms and rock and chair and say everything's perfect. We're thankful for what we see. But don't lie back alone. That hand that was ever against the church from the beginning, a local testimony, is still there. Why read the seven churches? Sure, my friend, the light was extinct one after another. There's a hand ought to destroy, a dampen, the divine, and absolutely dispel it, and finally exterminate. Those who, you are God, and you the Lord Jesus. And here we have, here in the book of Esther, this delightful book, we're coming into the picture of man for Mordecai. His name means small,
But he had in his heart others.
He wanted to save the situation. You know, brother and sister, if you can fit into a company of the Lord's people, you know, have their welfare, God will bless you. And I believe that should be ever within our hearts, the welfare of God's people. Well, that's what he says. Same idea of the welfare, the welfare of them. Brethren, we want to see the young men growing up strong. We want to see the sisters as Alice cornerstone. We want to see young men raised up of God, thrust out into the harvest field. We want to see young men raised up to become what our brother Robert so clearly has told us, elders, men of God in the assembly that have shepherd hearts. The one thing they have predominantly on their souls is the blessing, welfare, and good of God's people. Not criticizing them. Not putting a wet blanket upon them. We want those who will build them up and help them and draw near to them. Others is the motto in our hearts. That's what's on my mind. And this man, my friend, what he did, he stood at the bridge and he brought into the picture another person. I like this. I like this story. He's not a one-man goat. No, some men want to do it all. Boy, I hope I never get to that one way to do it all. His name would be Mr. Diopolis. He wants to do it all. Oh no. Mordecai can see the situation too big for him. Couldn't handle it. And what does he do? I love this. He gets a little street girl. He gets that girl called Esther. Beautiful to look upon. Charming. And gets to that girl who was placed into her hand at task. No ordinary task. And that should come to the very slices of blood as Mordecai came to. It was this. I am going before that king, and if I perish, I perish. There's one thing I'll do, but it means to lose the very blood from my veins. I throw it all, I put all on the line for this people, my people. Why, someone was in need to get a little flight over to Scotland. Just around the old Covenanters. And Doc Redd went, and said, you know, we're far too easy today. Isn't it too easy? Preacher and all. That's why I'm putting on you. Anyway, I'm gonna leave you there. Your names are too good and too substantial. That's it. And I like you too much. Anyway, there it is. You want to go over there in the Bob Redd's? And you go around those scriptures and I'm not meaning to say it to your Holy Ghost. And I'm not sentimental by the way. But I tell you, when I look at some of those scriptures, I just cry my head. One inscribed on a piece of granite, a little lad of 16, Martin Footprints. Oh, Martin Footprints. And on that tombstone, that's the word, and every hair on my head were body. And every trap of God on earth, I will give all gladly to my dear Lord Jesus. Mordecai is unique, even in every assembly. You want to have the watchman, the standing on the tower, and the looking at the clock. I'm going to give a wee word here. Please, for a little bit, you? I love you dearly. Don't take sides and sides and sides in the sentence. Look at the whole thing about you. Write them up on your heart. Lift them up before God. And even when there may be disagreements, bring them before the throne. Bear them up on your heart. God's people. The bark of precious blood, the coffin, the sacrifice. I've learned a wee bit along life, very little. One thing I did learn, no less and less, that's a good way to learn. You know, when you push the door, you draw, you draw.
Romans couldn't pardon for the wrong. Then you move to a crude for the crude. And then you get to the strong for the strong. When you get the strong, you get a fine picture, and you get it all, you can, I can put on any one of the fibers. And then they shoot the gun a few times, and you say goodbye. I'm old up. I'm learning after 41 years. I'll tell you what I'm learning after the years scratching the surface. Yeah, and even the giants will tell you that. Listen. You want to see more tired of yourself. No man, shake your heart with unrighteousness, and to forget all the ministry and all the sin, write it on your heart. Got it down, underline it on a piece of paper. Add it to your Bible at the back. All of us. At assemblies dear to God, dear to the heart of God. I want to keep my life alive. I want you to notice David. You've heard about David so much that you're tired listening to him. And I'm never tired. I always find that you're finding it tough. Pick up a gift. You know? You always get something out of David. Go for some hard gift about you. Change the family. Or somewhere in the secret where the wings are spent. And then you're all caught. Go to somewhere where you'll find it tough. Somewhere that you're relatives and shadows. Then God saved you and it threw on different shoes. And then as you live a long life, you become greater and brighter. And no matter what, and at tattering in the bricks, some of the old preachers used to still preach of 1 Samuel 17. So I'm taking good refuge looking at it and crisis? Absolutely. And this is happening. And there's a giant bell. A human tank. And the Saul's quiver. And all the brothers are given in turmoil. And along comes all that, that Mordecai was little. He was a little rock. God likes the little things. You know, I've learned what he needs.
God never uses a crying out. And he never uses someone that thinks in you.
So find a children to the Prince of Christ, you know, dear man is here. He says, Lord, the Prince of Christ. And we're going but half of his knees he says, Lord, a priest, a priest.
The fourth part comes over his head. He says, put Lord over all. And good priest.
Oh, listen. I hope we're small enough. I hope we're the people of the Master. I hope we'll be vessels sanctified, channeled, possessed, filled.
That's what God's looking for in Van Brugel. Looking for in brothers and sisters. Looking for in our sons.
God's watching. Here's a man, David, comes to the sea, not expecting to see what he... You know, God brings us into the unexpected sometimes. He didn't know what he was going to meet. But when he come there, he saw the problem, the difficulty. He asked questions, self-effacing questions. Not knowing the one... Shortly after he'd be out facing a giant. But when the crisis arrived, David said, I like this. Excuse me, I know I'm going over this. Come on. You didn't poke from another person. You poke from the book. Don't tell me you didn't. And of course, David's there, and he's before Saul, and he puts on God's armor. I can see that would be a fight anyway. I used to think when the soldiers were there, when I was a little boy growing up, and the soldiers were down the barracks, that they give me one of their caps and put it on their head. And their belt with all their badges. There's only a little nugget. Oh, David, man, imagine David putting on a king's armor. Never had one on before. He was just a shepherd lad with a script and a tag or whatever, and I'm out there with a sheep, and out in the headsides of Judea, tending sheep, looking at the sun and writing sounds, and then the moon, there he is now, all of a sudden, he's got armor on him, and the king's armor. Don't you want to get the lesson? Just do this. The chief's concern is you're not yourself.
Now, one man in Ireland one time, he come along to preach, and this brother was talking to the other, and he said, "Who had it tonight? This was a gospel meeting with Mr. Hawkins there."
He said he was away. Oh, somewhere across the water.
He said, "No, no. Mr. Davis, no. What we have is to do."
He was good and all, Mr. Davis. He was my resource.
Didn't fit.
The sheep's good, so you couldn't fit. Brethren, trust me yourself. That's what David learns. He said, "Look, I haven't proved this. Yes, give me a sling and a stone. I've proved that. Yes, I have. And you know something? He never would have pulled about his exploits."
There's something here that I have to touch. You know, I'd like to have something that I need. Something that I need. My sister. What are you, Alina? God uses you, God bless you.
Mary McShane took and said,
"Wonderful to be around when God is working, or really when he's back to the earth. He does the work."
Let us get a hold of him. He said, when someone had to go to the battle, and someone had to do the fighting, and someone had to deliver the nation, he said, "You know,
he wouldn't have told me. I can almost feel the reluctance in the little lad, David, the shepherd lad." He said, "You know, when I was out tending the sheep, there was a bear and there was a lion in it. I took a lamb out of the lion's mouth and I smoked the bear. Boy, I tell you, that was some of us. You'd have it up in the mountain shelf." He said, "You do like it, and I want to be the bear. Shoot. Not that boy.
And the lion,
boy, when that happened, you'd almost be scared of it in real life. You'd have it all tackled up to the lion, and maybe a lamb hanging out of his mouth. So, you see what I did?
You know something?
You'll be coming around your door, and they'll be asking you to get in the store, and you'll never get them in.
That story, a lion and a bear?
You'll never mention it.
Only once. Never mention it again.
See, you know, I've been mentioning it again all the times. Repetition. Oh, what happened? Well, my babies.
Terrible. It's almost barren of dust.
Brethren, let's give God all the glory. Let's give it to him.
Ah! He's referring all to the mighty power of God that he had intimately known.
Young brother and sister, maybe the only ones are. Well, forgive me for being so simplistic, but you who are in the meeting now, coming on with that hand handed to you, look at it! I'm pardon the sequel.
It's not a switch on in the light. You don't arrive, my friend, all of a sudden. It has to be the intimacy, the lonely days. You have to close the door when others are going.
I don't know what to do right here. I'm not hard. I hope you don't cut down because I'm not. Nevertheless, the Saturday's the night for going to a ski slope to tell you where you are.
You're in the best place.
Not even others are going out of this. That seemed legitimate even.
Lone of you, old master.
Word of light of earthly.
Holy God.
If understood by all, I dare to do what I will have to do. This ring is needed, said
very, very touchingly,
as a lad. When others were going, the different places to socialize. First, I don't need a last little 14. Have any university, high school, anything. Just a 14.
So I used to send, turn up a little bit. Sometimes my hand was cold, lying in the marble slab of the pit. That's what he does for us.
The shortcuts.
I'll get that in a moment. Those shortcuts. What's coming at the
now he says, that same God that I have known intimately on the hillsides.
And by the way, just like you say now, I'll let you think.
Would you forgive me for this?
We ought to be in the doctor, we're not the same God. When does a man become a Jew? That's a good thing. Someone who lives here almost respect me at all.
Someone who lives almost your cripples.
You say, well, now you've lived. Yes, I've lived. Listen, I'm on record right now. I don't believe in love. But spread in the charity and the healing. The intimacy that God is seeking in your life. I would remember a spirit of death in your soul. I believe the church is formed in the presence of God. In the hard knocks of life.
And in the
different places into which we're pushed. It's not even a shame to the burden of dying. It's really not a name. It doesn't mean this platform is for novices and for people jumping up. I'm not like that. You know, have more sense than us.
What I'm talking about, spiritual maturity is gained by knowing God and knowing God and learning what it is to battle the presence of God and power over things in your life.
What's on my mind very quickly, why I read David, sorry to go around the big way to get at it, but you know,
every time you read about giants in the Bible, they want to
always what though?
You think of a giant, beware. Okay.
Giants in the Bible are not good. Right from Genesis 6 and right from Twister.
There's no good in a cry.
Yeah.
Forget about the stone and only got the one. It says in Chronicles in 1 Samuel 21, I think, have been right. We're all subdued to the heart of this.
I know one was going to take a pot shot at him, but all was found him, and Abishai suffered them. I know that. Read the whole chapter. You'll learn this that under David, they were all failed under his hand. By Jen.
No, I'm going to talk to you guys in a moment. Who like
it? You know, there's a giant in our day of blasphemy.
David got that giant, Goliath.
Got a giant, a human tent, despotic, cruel palace, energized by another power, out to destroy God's people. David brought them down, but I just want to get this practical note. You're learning that to you. Rationalism. Reasoning everything. We're living in the day of reasoning. Yeah.
Warriors! And all perfected!
I'm asking this, why is this? I know it's just why.
I mean, if I was in a pickle too, I'd ask why, and I'm here in pickle.
Sure, why is all right, you can ask why. But listen, when God said that people have
you know,
when it comes to baptism, do you ask why is baptism? Do you? Some people would.
symbolism, not necessarily. I mean,
we're living in different days and others are cold. You get to hear that?
I see. Of course, it's hands up here, that. I'm not going to say, listen, I love you all. If I say the wrong thing, forgive me. That's right. I have only great hands left to the poor people. I don't know why you hate it. People told me, you know, you could help yourself. I'm not against it. You know I'm not against it. But you're talking about an open air conference.
Well, honestly, I'm not against it. Don't get me wrong. I've done it here. Well, what's it done?
Well, if that's some slips too, the water coming over. See, none of that happened.
All happens in our assembly life. All of that.
Well, I'm saying you start in the open air system. Ron was down there at Clemens Field Conference, you know, they had a battery to meet in their battery, let the sandy beach, and they took the strings, and stopped in their cars. Well, we all marched down, Alfred was at the head of the band, and there we were all going down to this little place to do a practice. An old woman, an old man, and a young girl. In fact, the girl was getting baptized, she was the first in his family of nine to see it. They asked me to do the baptism. You know, I went to that hour. I went to my sister Marilyn. She's the first one saved in the family. Why don't you have a great baptism? He's very shy, brother. Very honest to himself at this. He said, "But sure." No, I said, "No. I'd like you to do it. What about there will be this? If you're in me, I can accept it. Have people happy thinking really good. He wasn't. I wouldn't like this group. So we met that day, and the old gentleman was there, just taking it all, you know. And, you know, that was rough. I know that the way to do it. It was only a marriage, God decided it, which is, and still going on in life, and it's quite fun to him half his money. Anyway, there he was. Poor fella. And, I'm so gracious, he looked at the old gentleman and says, "Do you want to come first?" He said, "Well, I am nervous." But he says, "I'm sure you're bothered." So right then went, and the baptized her, sunny day, the sun.
She was shrugging, up from that day of the others. And, find the old gentleman, I'll never forget it. Mr. Ramsey's ready to hop. You ever see a man trying to get out of his skin? And if only for that day, they're just thrilled, just thrilled. About, what, 400 people from the country, but maybe 300? Never. The old gentleman was there. They put him down, and they brought him up, and he stood up. This is what he said. Albert says he's saying goodbye to the world.
It looked like a joke. It really looked like it. Well, that's what you're talking about. Well, being world, that's what you're saying. And so, boy, I tell you, that's sweet to see that. Brother, I hope you understand and enjoy. So,
these guys, obviously, the giant of rationalism. You know, they would rationalize it with them. That's the day. No, no, that doesn't mean that. You know, if you read some of the translations, I'm baffled.
And I'm not one to go into all the Greek technicalities of ours. They're all good in their place. And some men can handle them wonderfully, and we appreciate their expertise.
Just don't ask. You know, the greatest probably good scholar that was ever known in the past probably 200 years. And the greatest Hebrew scholar that was ever known. If you haven't heard his name, I'll give you. His name is Robert Dick Wilson. He went through the Old Testament, took every manuscript, went into every language till he was proficient. Proficient. Important type language.
hard to believe.
They set out to do was to prove conclusively as a professor to his class.
The class of you have.
To spend 25 years and 25 years to be down in bed
at the infallibility and indispensability of this great group of you in your heart. Love it. Live it. This year.
He's not going to his students, and the great professor will not go to his students to put them all at ease and to give them the calmness of the reliability of this book.
I like the way he said it. I'm not even almost sure what he said. He said, I like what he said.
He said, students, he said, I have researched. I have gone into it. He mentioned the manuscripts. He mentioned the material that he got under both arms and investigated and scrutinized every word, every letter, every. But he said, you know, there's something I have to admit today, with all that I did in these times, there's many things I will never know. And then to that crowd of students at Princeton, he said, one thing I know. Jesus loves me, this I know. I thought to myself, what depths, and yet what simplicity, what profoundness. Amidst all the knowledge, listen, brethren, you never reach any higher. Never reach any higher. Oh, brethren, that is the rationalism. That's not going on. You know, secondly, I want you to think of the giant of intellect.
Let me say here very, very, very simply, God has given us all in the air. Bless us, every one of us. As you were saved, He wants you to have a center. But you do that in the air. Did you ever hear a man? I'm not talking, I go on in the air. I go on men, and they're brilliant. They're brilliant. They're intellectual. They're tremendous. You can listen to them for hours. But they hear me get up and give thanks to the Lord. You never hear. You can tell you how far Jupiter is from the sun. And how far Mars is. You can tell you about the great exploratory scientific advancements of today. They could almost swim. And then there's others to tell you about a motor car from the tip of the engine, right to the exhaust. Yeah. That's all right. That's using your intellect. Some men, farmers, they could buy and sell. And if they don't have to, they know how to do.
But what I'm getting at, listen,
we need to join with the intellectualism to score that is. Don't want this in the streets. Store the God. Do you want me? You look like that. Do you mind?
Giant of intellectualism.
It will sweep in.
Until we have what we term today.
I don't have it here, but I'm talking another direction. Now we need seminars.
Yes. Breaking them up and setting them up with seminars. And colleges. Go to the colleges and learn. And they'll keep you in a certain path.
I think Mr. Frank Knox was out here called them seminars.
But I don't know whether he was lying that or not.
I don't remember him saying that. These seminars are,
what do they call them? Is that what they call them? Anyway, let's go on.
Let us do that. And we're broadcasting on TV, asking God, use it for God, challenge it in the resurrection,
use it in assembly, use it in spiritual hacker. There was another chant I want to touch very quickly.
Oh, I don't like doing it, but you have to watch it. You can't do it.
Rather, I don't want us to do this. You might never forgive a life of this and say, well, you old times are the best.
The good old days, you know.
And when we walked through the snow 4 feet deep, and when the icicles were hanging to the woman's skirts, the good old days. Goodbye, goodbye. I don't want that.
What if I hadn't come this way down, but
hey, come on,
that's Jesus.
Don't you want to go back to those good old days? What do you really mean is this?
There was a greater warmth. There was a greater fire in the soul. There was a greater warmth in the assembly.
The Lord's remind you.
I want to mount it up to preach here.
And there was something of a fear. And there was something of a warmth. And there was something of that atmosphere. When people were glad, it wasn't a matter of where it was a meeting tonight, and you know, you know, I've been busy all day and making money, and you know, and I've got deals. I know it. We're all affected, brother. I think it was Martin Prince, Martin Prince, and he was in the Bible room one night, I think it was Tuesday night, and he was in the Bible room, and he was saying nothing. But he didn't say much anyway. Now and again, if you give a nice contribution, but he was saying nothing. And Brother Kimber said to him, Martin, you're very quiet. You know, can you contribute? Oh, he says, Brother, I was just thinking how much taxes I have to pay for that revenue. Well, he was honest, wasn't he? He was honest. Some of us wouldn't be as honest as I. You know, brother, one of the things we need to watch and crush and bring down is the spirit of materialism that will destroy us. That is, be so materialistic that that's the big thing. It becomes a god. A young man who could be used mightily in the assembly of God, what are they doing with their lives? They're making it in this world.
Not
only
for another.
Seriously. They got wickedness.
All into men, smells,
and I want to bring you back where you could see peace side with me. And your day as soon as I did in my day took the world with me.
What has happened, brethren? Oh yes, God has blessed us. Let us thank God for that. Nice homes, that's great. Fine cars, that's good.
No, I'm no reflection on that. You know that.
But don't let it get a grip of our hearts. That it eats us up spiritually. That we've lost the sense of the big thing in life. The spirit in life. Seriously. Wouldn't I like to have got to another one? Formalism. Hard to strangle the formalism. I feel it in my own self. Cool. You work through the form. You keep the machine behind. And you all become trigger happy with the hunger. Keep it going. And the prayer. Be careful to guard the affections, the old preachers taught that. The old writers of the Reverend Kelly and Garvey, they all taught that. Keep the affections right. Keep the first love on fire.
Tell me,
see as Michael Clark said, at the revival from 59, 1859, he said the revival started with the third slide.
You know what he said? Read it for yourself.
She has had a first observer, he said. I went down on the slides, and the stitch went. He started to argue.
And I don't mean we have to go back to uncouthness or anything like that, but you know how the revival started? Well, you know.
Women pray. One on one. I was in that station to the pulpit. And then you got more. And then men come. And then pray. All men. And then the demon goes to. And the word comes. And one looks at the other. The farms. No education. No big money. So they decide, well, one has to be.
So this is what Jeremiah and Eve said. They prayed, I said, and God looks. And they're blossomed!
Right north and out of Australia. 132. Then they started to organize, and they got the third and fourth and the higher up.
Rather, we need to watch formalism.
If you get into any touch.
Well, you never forgive me if I don't stop. So I have to leave, but I would like to talk to the, I'd love to talk to my mind when I know it. I'll leave that. The crisis of a life.